in verse number 11. We're in Gospel of John, chapter 10. Let's read together, verse 11 to verse 14. Let's begin. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The day was ending soon, and the shepherd had to herd the sheep into their pen for the night. He called for his trusty sheepdog, who seemed to have an affinity for math, and he directed it to get the job done. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, dogs don't talk. But this one did in the story, okay. And he said, right away, said the sheepdog. Well, 10 minutes later, sometimes dogs make noises and we think they're talking, don't we? 10 minutes later, the shepherd looked out his window and saw the sheep safely in their pen. The sheepdog bounded into the house to report the completion of the task. Excellent work, said the shepherd. Did you get all of them? Yes, said the sheepdog, all 100 of them. A little confused, the shepherd said, now, buddy, I thought I only had 97 sheep. And the sheepdog replied, well, yes, I just rounded them all up. Give us some thought for a minute anyway. We're looking at Jesus as the I am, the I am. And we've seen some areas all in the Gospel of John so far, who Jesus is. And when he declares I am, he is equalizing himself with the Old Testament statement of God the Father, the God of the Jews, the God of Abraham and Jacob and so forth, and Moses, as he said to that statement. And here we see he is the good shepherd. We saw that he's the bread of life. The bread of life satisfies eternally, actually. We saw that he's the light of the world. He illuminates, he sanctifies, he shows us what to do in life and for eternity. He is the door. We saw that earlier in this chapter, that Jesus is the door for the sheep as well. And that's where he saves. He opens up eternity in heaven with God and a life for him here on earth. And now here we see he's the good shepherd, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, as we see, sacrifices. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Today we're talking about Jesus as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, he said. And this is a declaration of Christ's divine love. Divine love. How many are thankful that you have a God who loves you? A Savior who died for you and rose again. And by the way, he's extending his invitation to anybody who needs to put faith in him today. And to increase our faith, if you know him, through salvation. But let's go ahead and ask his help as we consider Jesus as the good shepherd, a declaration of his great and divine love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture, the whole Bible, but here we focus today on Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the flock, the good shepherd. Help us to discover as we learn that, what that means, how to apply it to our life today. Whatever the need is, Lord, we know you could meet it. And so we ask, dear God, you would show us what you see in our own heart, in our own life, the needs that need to be brought to you. And I ask, dear God, you'd use your word in a mighty way. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, I pray, so that these words will be yours and not my own. We thank you for what you're going to do. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the good shepherd, declaring a declaration of Christ's divine love. Verse number 11, that's the key verse we're going to look at as we go throughout this morning. Verse number 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, number one, let me share with you this. As the good shepherd, Jesus reveals his character, his character. The good shepherd is personal to his sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1, you know the verse, the very first one. The Lord is my shepherd. And then it says, I shall not want. Personal. Knows what we need. Knows what we don't need. Isaiah 40, verse number 11. He, that is the Lord God, shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. He's a personal shepherd. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Do you trust in the good shepherd today? That's who Jesus says he is, and scripture testifies of it this morning. The good shepherd is personal, and the good shepherd saves the lives of his sheep. The good shepherd saves the lives of his sheep. Here in John chapter 10, let's take a look at a few verses and then some others as we go along. The Bible tells us here in verse number 11, he lays down his own life for the sheep. He doesn't send somebody else. He doesn't say, let's gather a group of guys and see who gets the short straw. No, he lays down his own life. Look at what it says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He resurrected from the dead for the sheep. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 as we talk about the salvation he offers? Well, that requires a sacrifice, his life. But many have laid down their lives for others, haven't they? Right now in the conflict there in Iran, there are people who are laying down their lives for the betterment of somebody else. But they can't save me or you for eternity. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to look at verse number 20 there. Hebrews 13 and verse number 20. The difference with Jesus is that he resurrected. Amen. He's not dead anymore. Verse number 20. Let's read it together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Wow. Jesus Christ lives today. That's the difference between him and anybody else who's laid down their lives. In fact, he even told us that the greatest act of love is to lay down your life for someone else, to sacrifice. But the only act of love that can save your soul, that can save your eternity, is Jesus' sacrifice for you. Amen. And resurrection from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us he will return. Let's take a look there. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Near the end of the New Testament there, chapter 5, take a look, verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When is the chief shepherd going to appear? Well, the Bible tells us throughout scripture that he's planning to return. Amen. He's planning to return. His first time coming back will not place his feet on the ground. In fact, he's going to be in the clouds. And we have some beautiful clouds there this morning. They told us we're going to have nasty clouds, but they're kind of beautiful out there with the sun shining. Could be a day like today when he comes. Could be a different kind of day. But I know this, he is going to come again. He is going to come. He will return in the clouds for the sheep, and he will have a reward for his sheep. Here the Bible says a particular reward is the crown of glory that fadeth not away. He has several crowns he's going to share, but the one for sure is he's going to give you eternal life, the crown that provides that everlasting life. What did you have to do for that crown? Did you have to lift heavy weights? Did you have to work so many hours in a week? Oh man, I put in 80 hours. Whew. No, that's not what it takes to get eternal life. Maybe come to church every time, every single service and every extra service, and maybe when other things are going on, that's all a blessing. But none of that gets you eternal life. Did you know all you had to do to get the crown that gives you eternal life is believe what Jesus said about himself and accept him as your Savior? That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And he says there's other rewards awaiting too. But he will return in the clouds for the sheep. By the way, he's the only Savior who's going to return for the sheep. And God says he wants us to know who he is. The good shepherd, Jesus, reveals his character. Let's go back to John chapter 10 again in verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. As the good shepherd, Jesus reveals his care, his care. There are those out there who have saviors they trust in, gods they believe in, and others they may look to and even pray to, but they don't care like Jesus did. They don't have a love that lasts, and a love even when they are in the wrong. Did you know that Jesus loves you even when you don't love him? Yeah, that's the way he operates. He says, the good shepherd giveth. The good shepherd, that gives us several things here in these verses to tell us about himself. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. Verse number 3, take a look. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Did you know Jesus could be talking to you today? Now you say, wait a minute. Has he got a tenor voice? Has he got a baritone voice? Does he kind of sound a little different? It's not the type of voice, I should say the tone, but it's his voice that speaks to the heart. It's a voice from his word. And by the way, if it's Jesus' voice, he never disagrees with what he says in the Bible. Never. God never tells you something that he disagrees with in the Bible. You know why? Because God wrote the Bible, and he doesn't disagree with himself. But the voice of Jesus could be calling you. If that's the need, would you answer his voice? Would you seek out what he's done for you? Would you accept what he's done for you on the cross? The good shepherd speaks, and then he speaks to his sheep, the Bible says, to his sheep. If you've accepted Christ today as your Savior, friend, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't stop talking to you when you needed him for salvation. He continues to lead you and guide you. Have you seen Jesus lead in your life if you're a Christian today? You're not looking very hard if you haven't. In fact, he says, come back. Come back and follow me and follow what I say. The good shepherd speaks to his sheep. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name. Again, in verse number 3, take a look. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. The only one who ever got my name right, Mikalsowitz, is Jesus. Now, I'm not the most well-known person in the world, but there's times when people announce my name and I grin and bear it. But Jesus knows me personally as he knows you. Whether it's easy to say your name or not, he's known you. And by the way, according to God's word, he's known you before you were ever even born. He knew you in eternity past. He's loved you in eternity past. And he loves you today. And he knows your name. And the good shepherd calls you by name. The good shepherd, thirdly, leads his sheep. Again, in verse number 3. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Friends, I want to tell you something, that sometimes we give Jesus credit, maybe I could say blame, for things we do or don't do. And say, well, I think Jesus made me do that. I think Jesus was the one who made me, you know, not be honest on my taxes. Or I think Jesus was the one who said, you know, I can get by with not telling the whole truth. Or Jesus made me do this, or, you know, he's leading me that way. Folks, again, Jesus never tells you to do something contrary to his word. And he loves you. But he's still a holy and righteous God. And he says, I want to guide you into that righteousness, that holiness, and that love. You know what he told us to love? Who does he tell us to love the most? Love your enemies. Wait a minute, Lord. Hold on right there. You know what they've done? Can I ask you this? Do you think the good shepherd knows exactly what's happened to you in life? And yet, if we try to rely on our own power to do something, you're right. We're not going to get what he says to do done. But he says, if you follow me, if you follow my guidance and leadership, you can accomplish things you've never thought was possible. You can have a conscience clearer than you've ever known before. You can have a life with that's more peace than you've ever known before. You can have direction that may even only involve the next step, but have just as much assurance as you've ever had in life. The Good Shepherd, are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to follow him? He goes before his sheep. He leads them and he goes before them. Let's look at verse four. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This takes me back in my mind. And again, military is on my mind a lot lately, and I hope you're praying for them. But remember when our military was just a few years ago entrenched in the Middle East, Afghanistan, and places like that. And where guys, as they were driving these very expensive, heavily armored vehicles, and every once in a while, somewhere in the road, hidden, was an IED, an explosive device. And they figured this out pretty quickly. Guys were getting hurt. So they began to set aside in the military a group that they would train to find these things and to dig them up. And they would go before the armored carriers. And yes, they too had their armor, but they had what they had up here was, okay, I'm looking for a particular stone that's out of place. I'm looking for a particular thing that's not where it's supposed to be. I'm able to hear something maybe with my instrument and figure out this isn't right. This is not just a rock or a piece of dirt. This could be dangerous to the rest of our group. The Bible says the Good Shepherd goes before us. Amen. To prepare the way, but also to remind us there are some dangers to avoid. There's some things to stay away from, as well as to stay on the path. Stay on the path. I've shared with you before, and to me it's the most vivid in my own life, is when a friend of mine and during deer season, I had shot a deer, which I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but sometimes that what happens is they don't die right away. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah. We've got stories though, don't we? I shot him at 9 o'clock in the morning and I knew I'd hit him. And by the way, we use all the meat. I don't just go shoot because I got so many bullets to use. 9 o'clock in the morning and I saw him run away. Across the road is a friend of mine who is very experienced. And I said, Mike, what do you think we ought to do? He said, where was the last time you saw him? Blah, blah, blah. And he had run across the road into a swampy area, covers I don't know how many hundreds of acres. He said, here's what you do. Go home. Have lunch. Have dinner. Come back about 10 o'clock and we'll go find him. And so we met up. And once we got to the edge of that swamp, he said, now I've been out here many times and I'm telling you, you need to step wherever I step. Because if you don't, it may not be hard and solid ground. It's okay, I got it. So he's down there. He's, you know, if you've ever seen somebody track something, they are like bloodhounds. They're on the floor, they're on the ground, man. He's looking for little drops of blood. And he started to find the trail, and he's not looking at me. He's assuming I'm looking at him. And I was trying to, okay. Okay, all over here. And I turned around and just thought, well, I hope we know where we're at. And all of a sudden, when I looked up, I couldn't see him. Okay, well, he was kind of going this way, and I took a few steps. And then I must have stepped somewhere he didn't. And I'm telling you the truth. I went all the way down to my hip in that swamp. In fact, I couldn't get out unless he came to help me. He grabbed my hands and pulled me up so I could get solid ground. And what a mess I was that night. We did find the deer, so praise the Lord. Happy ending. Anyway, Jesus is leading the way. The difference between him and Mike is that he does look back at us. He does know whether you're following him or not, but he definitely wants you to follow in the step that he sets for you. He's follow the steps of Christ. The shepherd is our guide. The shepherd leads his sheep. The shepherd goes before the sheep. The shepherd protects his sheep. Take a look at verse number 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The Bible tells us he is not an hireling. He is the good shepherd. He shares with us some interesting information as he shares about the hireling here. The hireling, as you might have guessed, is a hired man. He's not the owner, but he is paid to care for the sheep with the same care and concern that the owner would. That's the idea. You pay the guy, you want him safe, he agrees to it. But here Jesus says, when a wolf comes along, and a big enough wolf, the hireling will not stay, he will flee. Because what's the hireling's main goal? If he's not looking out for the sheep, he's looking out for himself. Himself. Jesus makes a contrast throughout the New Testament, but here in the Gospel of John, as well as in the Gospel of Luke when he was before some others, there is a contrast between him and what are called the religious leaders of the time. Here in Luke, it talks about a group he was before called the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and Pharisees, lumps them all together, and says they're the ones, though they have truth, but they don't care for you like the good shepherd does. The good shepherd willingly lays down his life for the sheep. The hireling he spoke of were not going to do that. Those that would say, you know, hey, I'm just like the Lord. I'm going to care for you like him. I have his truth, etc. Now, what typically happens with these religious leaders of the day, the chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, the elders, they added things to the Bible. They had their routines. They had their customs, etc. They would say things that were and base rules or laws, etc., not on scripture, and expect the people to follow. And Jesus says, that's not me. I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to protect you. I stick to my word. You want to know what Jesus believes and trusts in and wants you to believe in? Look in here. Look in God's word. That's where it is. Does that mean there's no other place we can get some understanding about his word? No, God's used many believers in the past. Some of them have written down information about what they've learned from God and can be helpful to us. But again, you have to sift it with the word of God. Amen? And let the Holy Spirit lead and guide in that way as well. The good shepherd protects his sheep, and the good shepherd stays with his sheep. Look at verse number 13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The good shepherd stays with his sheep. Have you ever felt alone? Maybe in body, you've been alone, and sometimes that moment overcomes you that there's just nobody else there. And Jesus says, if you've trusted me as your Savior, you are never alone. You are never alone. Perhaps he reminds us of that by bringing some friends along or somebody else to encourage. Perhaps he simply just lets you know from the Bible, from his Holy Spirit, you're not alone altogether. The Bible says he does not leave his sheep alone. The hireling does, but not the good shepherd. We get a good idea of who the good shepherd is by the way he cares for his sheep. Let me give you a third thought as we go back to John chapter 10. A third thought about John chapter 10. Take a look again, verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here we see as the good shepherd, Jesus reveals his cross. Again, many have given their life for others, but here he shows and he's preparing the people to see, perhaps his own disciples, the cross is coming for the good shepherd. the sacrifice for mankind and his sin. The Good Shepherd's cross requires his life. Jesus willingly, did you know, went to the cross? Look at verse number 15. He says this in verse number 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Hey, I'm thankful for the gospel, aren't you, of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful God sent his only begotten Son. And sometimes we get this idea that God forced Jesus somehow in eternity past to come because he sent him. And Jesus says, I laid down my life. I did it for you. I'm willing to take the cross. And though we see in his human form in those last few hours before he was arrested, he said in his human form, if there's any other way, he was not saying, I'm stopping to be willing. He was simply saying, God, if you've come up with something I'm not sure about, don't know about, let's look at that. But I'm sticking with the plan. I'm sticking with the plan. Not my will, but thine be done. The Good Shepherd's cross requires his life. And did you know that the Good Shepherd's cross bought salvation for all his sheep? Yes. All his sheep. Verse number 16, take a look. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Here Jesus was in Israel, in Jerusalem at this, he wasn't there yet at this point, but he was on his way, preparing for the cross. And he says, I'm here to save the sheep. And in the people's mind in Israel, they thought that's us. That's the Jews. God sends the shepherd to save us. We read about it in the Old Testament. Jesus says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. So who are the other sheep he's talking about? He's already shown that the Jews need him. We know the Gentiles need him too. Amen. By the way, Jew or Gentile, hell is open to all. And that's why salvation is open to all. Because God can save a Jew, a Gentile. He can save a Polish man. He can save a German. He can save anybody who calls on him for salvation. The question is not necessarily, do I believe he can save anybody? The question is, have you trusted him as your Savior? Because he's already said, I can save you. The other refers to those Gentiles, those that are not Jewish people, which is a pretty good percentage of the world today, wouldn't you agree? But regardless, his sacrifice is for all. He bought salvation for all his sheep, and the Good Shepherd's cross conquered death for his sheep. Look at verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. What does that refer to? That refers to coming out of the grave, to rising again, that I can have life again. He had to resurrect. He had to conquer death in order for his sacrifice to mean anything for you and me. Hey, somebody's sacrifice might give us an extra day or two, or maybe even some years, but Christ's sacrifice gives us eternity, eternity. And he says, would you trust in me? Christ's cross was in the Father's plan for our righteousness. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2? Christ's cross was in the Father's plan for our righteousness, not just our everlasting life, but so that we could live a life that's righteous before him. Chapter number 2 in 1 Peter, take a look, 23:24. Would you read it with me, please? Verse 23. And 24, we're in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's read it together. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know, the Lord desires you and I to live under righteousness, and we cannot do it without him. We can't do it without accepting him as Savior. And by the way, you can't do it without trusting him and growing him in faith after you're saved. Amen. Many have tried it, and it doesn't work. You have to lean on your Savior. Christ's cross was in the Father's plan for our righteousness and a righteous life. Christ's resurrection gives us eternal life. In John chapter 10, if you want to go back there, look at verse number 27 with me, please. John chapter 10, verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And here he says, I and my Father are one. Wow. His resurrection gives. Notice what he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. And something interesting also is that Christ's gift of the sheep guarantees our future. Look at verse 29 again. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Did you know that you were a gift to Jesus? The Heavenly Father says he gave you to the Savior. Now you had to accept that. You had to receive Christ. You have to put your faith in what Jesus did and will forever do for you, my friend. But what an amazing thing to be called a gift. When sometimes it just feels like in this life, the world treats you as a number or a category or a section of the community. God says you're a gift to the Lord Jesus. He's a gift to you, but you're a gift to him. And what a treasure we are to each other. Let me ask you this. Do you wonder if God really loves you? I encourage you to look at the Good Shepherd. He reveals his care. It reveals his character. It's impeccable. And it reveals his cross and his resurrection. Have you put your faith in the Good Shepherd? He's the I am, embodied, and he lives today. Nobody else can say that after they've died. Not without God's help, for sure. But Jesus did it on his own. Would you look to the Good Shepherd this morning? Christian friend, you're one of the sheep, amen? You're one of the sheep. And sheep need to follow the shepherd. Otherwise, we can find ourselves hip high in problems. But praise the Lord that the shepherd is able even to pull us out of the mire. Amen. He certainly wants us to stay on the right path. But did you know, Christian friend, if you get off the right path, the Lord Jesus is waiting for you to look back to him and accept his help. Maybe that's where some of us are today. He simply says, come back to the sheepfold, come back to me and follow me. Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to look to the Good Shepherd today, Lord. Thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Now I ask, Lord, would you show us where we're at? Your word is a mirror to us. It's a reflection of who we should be. And perhaps there's some, Lord, that just simply need to call on Christ and receive him as Savior. Father, perhaps as a believer in the Lord Jesus, we've wandered. The steps that we have seen that he's shown us, we've decided maybe take a step or two different. And now there's trouble. Oh God, I pray, show us what we need to do. We thank you, Lord, that anything brought before you in confession can be forgiven. That's what you tell us. And that our heart needs to be changed to you, repentant of things. If that's the need, Lord, we pray. Perhaps we're on the right path, Lord, and we just simply ask, what's the next thing? what's the next soul to reach out to or work to do for God. I pray, Father, you'd show us that even now. May you get the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, please, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me, please, if you're able. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? I want to ask a couple questions, and then I'll finish prayer. Are you here this morning? Would you say, Pastor, I know I'm one of the sheep. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. There's no doubt about it. But God's shown me there's a step or two I've taken off that didn't fit His steps. It didn't fit His steps. Oh, God, I pray you'd show us what we have. Perhaps you're here this morning, friend. That's you. Praise the Lord. You know the Lord Jesus, but there's some steps that you've chosen that are different than His. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not here to ask you about anything, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'd sure like to pray alongside you if that's the need. God, would you show us how to get back right? Just look to Him. Is that the need this morning? Would you remember me? I'm one of a sheep, but I know there's a step or two. I need to get back with God. Would you remember me this morning? Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Please pray alongside. Question number two. I'm here this morning and I can't say with assurance that I'm one of Christ's sheep. I can't say that in all honesty, but I'd like to be. I see Jesus for who He is. He's the Good Shepherd. Would you remember me when you close? I want any confusion set aside, and I want to settle this with Jesus today. I want to be sure I'm one of His sheep. Would you remember me when you close? Not by name, I'm not going to do that, but my prayer can help us settle any confusion, and we can talk about it. Is that the need this morning? I need Jesus. I'm pretty sure, but I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? One more, and then I'll close. Pastor, I'm here this morning, and I do have a great burden. I do have a burden that I need to bring before God, or I'm looking to God for help with. Would you pray alongside me? You don't know what it is. Maybe others don't either. But the Lord does, and the Good Shepherd cares for the sheep. Would you remember me when you close? Not by name, but the need. Yes, amen. Here's my hand. Please remember me. There's a great burden. Amen. Yes, yes. Thank you. Yes. Any others? Pray for me. There's a great burden. Would you remember me? I want to lean on the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Now I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help those of us that said we have great burdens, dear Lord. You know all about them. And the Good Shepherd can carry them all. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to make the very next step to lay it before you, to lay it at the throne of grace, and make this the first step into seeing that burden become a reality and taken care of by your and glorify you. I pray, God, that you would use this time of invitation to get that started. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As we stand, I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing. When she begins to play, would you respond by taking that burden to the Lord? In any way, anywhere, as the Holy Spirit leads, would you do that right here, right now, as she begins to play? You can make it a big deal, stepping forward. Come unto Christ, as God says in His Word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.